You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Great Scott!
I got a bad feeling about this.
Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Han Solo. I've been waiting for this day for a long time.
Can't wait.
This is the Bart and Han Show on 98.7 ESPN.
Yes, it is. It is Carlin in for Han today at 800-919-3776. 800-919-ESPN over on Twitter at Bart and Han and on Instagram at Bart and Han as well. What is up, Bartholomew Montavious Anthony Scott?
What it do? We're finally here. The start of live sports. And I mean, I tell you what, I was excited talking to seeing Bobo yesterday. Today we get to see the Nationals and the Yankees. The start to the championship. I'm excited, Chris. This is a day that we've been waiting for. We weren't sure that it actually was going to come. I know a lot of reporters, a lot of experts never thought we would get back to live sports. We don't know how long it's going to last, but it can be a supernova. I'm excited that we have live sports and something to talk about. So tired of talking about stuff that happened 20, 30 years ago and predicting. Now we're going to be able to actually break down who sucks and who doesn't suck. And that's as close as a normal we can get.
Well, as far as we can tell, who doesn't suck is the Yankees. And they're opening up down in D.C. tonight, weather permitting. And, of course, I know everybody in the last 24 hours has said this, but the most 2020 thing would be for that game to get rained out tonight or a massive rain delay that lasts until about 2 o'clock in the morning. That would be the worst thing that would possibly
exactly. Let me tell you something. I don't care what time they have to play this game. I don't care if people go to sleep, wake up, and mistake it for the Korean Baseball League. We going to see a game tonight. I can care less what time, what hour. If I can sit up and fall asleep four times and wait for Fight Island to air its final main event, I can wait to 12, 1 o'clock in the morning to see if Giancarlo Stanton can have a Yankee moment or if he's going to be back or not or can they stay healthy or Garrett Cole versus Scherzer. I want to see it. I need to see it. I have to see it, and I will wait as long as I have to, Chris. But if they tell me that this game is postponed to tomorrow, I'm pulling up.
Look,
Han,
I just don't want to – we all just want to see it, and it may be tricky tonight. But more than anything, as much as I try to dig deep and look for some secret sauce or some reason to, look at the Yankees and find some other thing that could hold them up, there's really only one thing that can hold them up, and that is health. I mean, we all know – this is win the World Series or bust for the Yankees at this point. But when you look at the team, that's truly the only question that you really have. When you start talking about whether or not Mike Ford needs to get more at-bats because they need another lefty in the lineup, but you look top to bottom what the lineup is when it's healthy, I mean, you know you're going to score a ton of runs. That you went out and took care of your number one priority in the offseason, which was to get a number one pitcher. But, Bart, I have searched and searched and searched and searched. And other than looking at guys to be their normal, consistent selves who are consistent players, the guys like Gleyber Torres, the health of Hicks, Judge, Stanton, Sanchez, really the last three is what it boils down to, because you can't expect what happened last year to happen again this year from two fronts. Number one, it can't possibly be as bad as it was with all of the injuries that they had. Or number two, if it is that bad, Bart, there's no way you're going to be able to dig out of that hole quickly in a 60-game season.
No, absolutely. There's no such thing as it's no time to panic that the season's just started. You know, you're having team meetings, like I've been saying over and over again. You're having team meetings with three-game losing streaks. I mean, you can't get off to a bad start because you don't know how well your health of your team is going to be. So you have to get out to a fast start. But I would say this, right? I'm so happy that they finally got their white whale, that they were able to get, you know, Garrett Cole, and now they feel like they have their ace, even though Severino was supposed to be the ace. Tanaka was supposed to be an ace. And, you know, last year going out and get the big maple. But for me, it's been about the bats going cold in the postseason. And it's about what I saw was I saw a team that looked like they were playing fundamentally sound. It wasn't just trying to be the baby bombers, but they were trying to get guys on be effective like that. I think when you add a guy like Andujar to the lineup, you add a guy like Gleyber Torres, these are all contact hitters as well. We talk about Andujar maybe putting on a little bit more weight, and now those doubles may be home runs, especially in Yankee Stadium. I need guys that can get on base, and I need to be able to manufacture runs, because we know the cream rises to the top in the postseason. And I don't care who you're playing, if you have to go against the Nationals, they got a bunch of aces. So hits and being able to be able to situationally hit in high leverage situations and not just swinging, but trying to get on base to be able to manufacture runs the old fashioned way is going to be the key. And the Yankees always say that, you know, they're about getting on base and doing the right things, choking up on the bat, whatever you want to say, but then they always revert back to who they are. And we saw that in the second exhibition game against the Mets, that they went out and they had five home runs. That's great. But what happens when you're going against aces and you have to manufacture runs and get on base and be responsible at the plate? Not for yourself, but for the man behind you and having that person bat you in. That's what remains to be seen from the Yankees in my standpoint, because we know that, you know, when you go against these great pitching staffs, that it may come down to one or two opportunities with runners in scoring position. And have they learned their lesson and be able to move guys over and be able to manufacture runs in the playoffs is the key to me, Chris.
Yeah, and look, you have guys that do look in the mirror. Aaron Judge wants to be this incredible leader. And you hear the sound from him earlier in the week talking about not wanting guys to forget what that was like last year. You're seeing Judge wanting to step into the role and really being Jeter, if he can. In fact, I'm going to play this for you. I just want you to think about this for a second and how he kind of reverts it in the middle. And I got this cut that I used on our new podcast, Savages in the Box, that debuted this morning.
Say it again. Say it again.
Savages in the Box.
That's what I'm talking about. Savages in the Box. Mm-hmm. Download it. Subscribe to it. Baby Buddha spitting hot fire.
Every day on the Yankees Monday through Friday. But listen to this sound from Judge and his take on you could just hear it in his voice how he's trying to be Jeter.
At the end of last year after the game, spoke to the team and just
if I can get it to play.
At the end of last year after the game, spoke to the team and just said, hey, guys, don't forget this feeling. Don't forget this emptiness, this you're mad. We're thinking about what we could have done different, this and that, what we could have done, what I could have done. You know, that's the biggest thing as I go back to missed opportunities I had. But you just use it as fuel. I try to tell the guys, use this as fuel. Remember that. You don't want this feeling again.
I mean, look, you don't want that feeling again, and you hear him talk about, I look at things that I did. What can I do differently this year? How can I be better? Let's call it what it is. To your point, Judge has to be better in these clutch situations. If you go and you look at the numbers, he and Stanton are very similar over the last couple of years when it comes to how productive they have been in clutch situations, and that's a problem. And, you know, that leads us to Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Bart, if he's not on the field, if Stanton's not on the field consistently, if these guys aren't out there and consistently producing, I think it presents a little bit bigger of a problem than it has in years past.
Here's the good news. Good news is the season is short. Here's the bad news. If Judge has one of these typical injuries that he's had in the last couple of years, he doesn't have the time to recover, and the team may not recover. Now, I know they've had people step up, but we can't continually hope that he's going to be the one to step up. Because I will argue that when he's missed that time, the people that were replacing him actually filled in admirably. But when he came back, he had to get it back in a rhythm. You don't got time to get in a rhythm in a shortened season like this. You don't have time for him to get back and be able to see the ball great. We don't have time for him to really figure out his strike zone and get his feel to be able to see pitches. We don't have time for any of that. We don't have time for Staten. If Staten gets hurt, we don't have time to just throw him back in so that he can get right. Because with 60 games, it can go either way. Now, it's no home field advantage, but the Yankees have advantage because they have the short porch and they have the opportunity to have guys, multiple guys, that can put it out of the park. But if you're not healthy and Judge gets one of those injuries like he's gotten over the last couple of years, what about his availability for the postseason? That's what makes it so scary. And, you know, guys got to step up. And then you start to ask yourself, this is a huge year for Aaron Judge because we want to call him Mr. Jeter, but where's his Jeter moment? You can say whatever you want. Yeah, great, great postseason. Maybe one of the most talented people in baseball. Great outfielder, a unicorn, so to speak. 6'8", mobile, agile. I mean, you can try and take an extra base on him. We've seen that cannon. Guys thinking that it's a clear double and him throwing him out. But when is he going to take the reins and become Jeter as far as the postseason performance? Because I would argue that to me, the face in the future of this organization or the Yankees organization is Gleyber Torres. And we've seen him. Listen, in all the big moments that we've seen, in all the big at-bats, you know, even if you want to talk about when they got into it before Chapman, you know, gave up the big home run. If you want to talk about all those moments, who was the guy that you were relying on? It was DJ LeMahieu and it was Gleyber Torres. Those were the guys that came with the big hits. Right. So when I think about, you know, who's the guy that have performed in the postseason, I would argue that Gleyber Torres has performed better than Aaron Judge. And I would say that, hey, I'm excited to see Gleyber moved up in that batting order. They messed around with him, had him at the bottom of the lineup. He deserves to be right up there by in third or fourth or fifth batting, you know, at that time, because he's just that. I mean, this guy to me is way more special than Aaron Judge. He's able to adapt so quickly. When you see pitchers get him out early in the game, he's able to adjust and adapt. To me, when I see my eyes, I see Judge as the special guy, but I think sometimes we overlook the guy that just looks normal, right? We see that down in Houston with Altuve. He ain't supposed to be the star, but the star is the star. And the star got nothing to do with stature. It got to do with that clutch it gene. And I see it all over Gleyber Torres. And I think that Aaron Judge, respectfully, is going to get the mantle as being the leader right now. But, man, if Gleyber Torres ain't coming for that spot, he better step it up real quick, because people are going to start to say, hey, Gleyber, what do we need to do? Hey, Gleyber, lead us. Especially if Judge isn't available this year and he doesn't show up in the postseason big time.
And then you shift over to the idea that they have a massive advantage from a pitching staff standpoint. Now, this is something that David Cone was on a few weeks ago and was talking about. The idea that it's not just about your top 12, 13, 14 guys, but really your top 20 guys in your organization, that in a short season like this, when you have pitchers who are not necessarily, besides Cole, who apparently go 100 pitches, that's how well he's kept himself up during this whole time. Besides him, you're going to have guys going 3 and 4 innings, and you're going to have incredible depth, not just in the rotation, but guys that can do both things. And when you look at the pool that the Yankees are going to be dealing with, I think that's where this massive advantage is going to come from, because you look at guys like Loaisiga and Sessa, and I know he's not always been the biggest fan favorite, but the guy can do different things. He could come out of the pen. He could start for you. You look at Garcia, Jonathan Holder, Montgomery, King, Schmidt, these are all guys that through the course of these 2 months, they're going to be calling on to not only keep others fresh, but also get big outs where every game means literally three times what a normal game would mean.
And that's what's so exciting. I think this could be something that baseball has kind of tripped them to, having a shortened season, but it's going to raise the excitement level because people have to pay attention. You can say, okay, well, it's a 160 game, whatever. I'm not paying attention. You know, this game doesn't mean much. Series mean a lot. It's going to mean a lot. And I don't know how important home field advantage is going to be. But when you think about the fact that you're able to get off to a fast start and somebody gets hot, that momentum can carry. So usually when teams get hot, eventually they come back to earth. Somebody can be hot, get hot at the right time, and carry this all the way into the postseason. We saw the Nationals get hot after barely making the playoffs. You know, so if somebody gets hot and their pitchers get hot and their bats get hot, you know, it could be an upset. And, you know, we know or we assume and think that, you know, that the Yankees are on a collision course. And if you go through, and that collision course is with the Dodgers. And if you had to ask yourself, who do you trust or who has the better stars, you may lean towards the Dodgers. So, I mean, it's great if the Yankees take the next step, and the next step would be getting to the World Series. But it not only would be a disappointment to them, it would be a disappointment to us as well, even though it was probably signal success and progress. This is their window. This is their time. And that excuse that they had was that they didn't have an ace. They didn't have a guy. They didn't have a Verlander. They didn't have a Scherzer. They didn't have a Kershaw. They didn't have that guy that you put out there. You could almost scratch a victory. They have him now.
We're discussing the Yankees part of it. But, Bart, I wonder if by the time we actually get around to first pitch tonight, if it actually could become harder than it was before to the Yankees to go and win the World Series, because John Heyman late yesterday tweeted that the Baseball Players Association and Major League Baseball was still actively discussing the idea of expanding the playoffs, not from 10 to 14 teams, as they had talked about all along, but 10 to 16 teams. And having that many teams, 8 in each league, make the playoffs, which, all right, if you have the best record in the league, you're probably not going to get hurt that much, but we'd have to see how this would work out, because all of a sudden it might become a lot harder to plod through all these teams to try to make it to the World Series.
So are they pulling a Zion? Are they trying to get DeGrom in the playoffs? Is this what baseball is doing? They're trying to make it so easy to get the playoffs.
As soon as
the
Stroman injury came up, they said, we got to figure out a way to get the Mets in. I don't think that's what happened.
I mean, you know, whenever you add anybody to the tournament, we always get every once in a while these Cinderella type of stories where we have a lower seed beat a higher seed. You know, so, I mean, I think as much baseball can get in, I think baseball wants to get as much of that revenue back. And maybe this changes the deals that they can do. And this allows really local markets, smaller markets, to stay engaged a little longer, because you realistically think that you have a greater chance of being able to have opportunity to be in the postseason. So it allows the country to stay more engaged, because understand that baseball is going to be competing against, you know, the hockey playoffs, the NHL playoffs. It's going to be competing maybe with the start, with the start of football. And then, of course, the basketball playoffs. So I think that they're really probably trying to give themselves as many options to have meaningful games. I think it's a blessing that they're only going with 60 games, because it's going to allow them at a time where they wouldn't have to compete with these sports to be able to have meaningful opportunities to engage people that are casual and lifelong baseball fans.
Now, look, I don't know what the structure of that would look like yet. We had it before when they were talking about 14 teams, where the team in the league with the number one overall seed based on their record and winning the division would actually still be in that position if they automatically move forward to the division series. But they're the only team that does that. Now, I don't know how it would play out here. We have to wait and see if it actually happens. They have to agree on it before first pitch tonight. So we'll see how that plays out.
But before first pitch tonight?
Before first pitch. 25 hours.
Is this like 24? What's the show with 24 with the clock, the whole
24.
Series?
That's the name of the show.
But what's the guy's name?
Jack Bauer.
No, but it was like Sutton. What's his real name?
Kiefer Sutherland?
Yeah, Kiefer Sutherland. Is Kiefer Sutherland going to be trying to work his way like through like the office building to get up to the top floor to like give and deliver the vote?
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's like. I was doing a show on ESPN National yesterday, and my partner, Katie George, said, wait a second. We don't have a place for the Blue Jays to actually play yet, but we're going to expand the playoffs. Okay. With less than 24 hours to go before the season starts. I'll tell you what. It is
that's crazy,
crazy,
too. Baseball, and listen, sometimes crazy gets you attention. Yeah. And I think baseball is kind of like helter-skelter right now. It's all over the place. But it's exciting because it's always something happening. It's always a deadline. And I think baseball may like this. And I think they may try and take some of this energy, man. I don't know if they ever want to give it, because what reason why baseball gets these huge TV contracts is just it's programming. It's filling, right? You're filling programming during the summertime when there's really not much going on, when you really may not have a lot of people actually indoors watching television. But it's still filling. Filling programs, but you know, it's more exciting with less games. The reason why we tune in and we're so addicted to football is the fact that every game means so much. And if you can shrink the season down, maybe right from to like 120 games, something like that, I think it may be able to engage, because now it's like people start paying attention more attentively, and you know, races get turned up faster because you know you don't have those extra 40 games or 40 plus games, whatever, you know what I mean, to really figure it out, and then add in some trade deadlines where it's always action going on. I think baseball may get a byproduct of being more exciting of a product by happenstance because of the pandemic.
Oh, but you can see maybe they're getting a little boost out of it, but I also look at it from the standpoint that if you're like a team that is in the middle, now you're probably more likely to go out and try to do something a little bit nuttier if you think it's wide open, right? At the the deadline for the trades is a month away. I mean, listen, there'd be a lot more interest there too. That could be a wild scene from teams that are out of it quickly and trying to move on, and other teams that are going to give themselves a chance to try to stay alive. Now, I want to shift over to Stroman and the Mets for a second.
Yeah, what did I say yesterday? And listen, Chris, you're the one who got me locked into this be a Mets fan crap.
Wait, right? Don't look at me. I warned you at the beginning.
But you told me, you made me feel like I'd be a sucker if I just jumped on a winning bandwagon with all the young baby bombers. You remember this when the book first came out? We were reading the book and we were like, man, they're going to win all these games and championships. And I didn't want to seem like a bandwagon dude that's just going to jump on like anybody that's a Golden State fan right now or a Patriots fan for the last 5 years. So, of course, I went with the underdog. I didn't realize they were this under. You know what I mean? I just saw them do something in 2015, and you told me. You said, Bart, when you hear something like, you know, day-to-day, that means surgery pending. And yesterday on this show, I said I heard it was just a strained calf by Rojas, and today, now it's a tear.
Yeah. But listen, Marcus tweeted out earlier today.
Yeah,
you ready to hear what he had to say about it?
Amputation tomorrow.
Super minor setback. Not even slightly worried. More time-consuming than anything. Threw a 55-pitch bullpen on Monday and felt great. Only feel it when jogging and sprinting. However, must be able to run at full speed when competing. Thank you all for the prayers and well wishes. All right, couple of things.
Really?
Number one, it's a 60-game season, so right. A super minor setback that's time-consuming ends the year for you.
Right. I mean, what do you got, 12 starts maybe? So now he's down to 8, 10?
At best, you hope.
So now we got to call Seth Lugo up. Lugo got to come up and give us four.
It doesn't even sound like they want to do that. It doesn't even sound like they want to stretch him out. It's more likely that they want to play. They want to put Corey Oswalt in that spot because they're too afraid to weaken the bullpen.
Oh, God.
I mean, Corey Oswalt is, you know. Let's call it what it is. It's batting practice. I mean, that's really what it is. And you know, you could put all those guys together, Corey Oswalt, game. Jacob Rehm. They're all Springer. The same guy.
Yeah.
They're all the same guy shuttling back and forth from the utility camp or whatever they're calling it right now to the team. They're just guys that they don't add that depth. They're just add a body more
quality,
than anything.
Quality
else.
Depth. They're glorified cones. So just say what it is. They're glorified cones. And if you do that, it's going to mess up the rotation. It's going to force us to have to depend, because it's trickle down economics, right? trickle down sports. It's going to trickle down to Familia. And the last person I want to have to depend on is Familia coming in and having some type of substantial role, trying to get somebody, a bridge guy from sixth to seventh inning before you go to Betances. And, oh, my God, we don't even know. I wasn't confident. I don't know how you felt the other day, but I wasn't ultra confident in looking at what Diaz was doing. Like, yeah, the stuff was there and the speed was there, but he still wasn't getting guys out.
No, I wasn't confident. I'm not confident in Diaz at all.
So he still looks shaky there, right? I love what Betances looked like. It was great, right? But who the hell is the closer?
I think it's still Diaz getting the first crack at it, but you know that the leash is going to be very short considering how short the season is. That's going to be the case for everybody. You can't afford to let a guy work it out.
Yeah.
Not at all, especially with Diaz at this point. And that trade could continue to look worse and worse by the day. 800-919-3776. We're going to get your calls in here very shortly. So load them up on the baseball with the Yankees and the biggest obstacles that they have. And the Mets now with the Stroman injury and part the Gesellman injury too. I mean, depth gone. Shot.
Already. and it's the thing, right? We'll see based on how this sell of the team goes.
You know what this is?
The Mets may be one of those teams that's stuck in the middle. And they have to decide, are they going for it or are they not? And what are they willing to do? And I think that could be a bad thing because it could be that false, you know, like last year, you know, what they did in the second half of the season. I mean, nobody was playing. Everybody, you know, the teams were shuffling. I never want to hear what somebody did at the end of the season when, you know, all bets were off and you had teams that knew their season was over with. When things matter. And they had that little run, and we thought it was all good. And then they got brought back to reality. So listen, this is a big year for Brody. Because we're gonna have a new owner. He better be saying, hey, if Rojas don't work out, we got AJ Hinch, he's my buddy, you know, to saying to whoever the next owner is, because he's the one who made that trade for Diaz and Jed Lowry. And how's that looking right now? You gave up a lot for those two guys. And when I say you're okay, we know you were getting less than zero from Lowry because now you paid him. He did nothing, right? And Diaz did nothing, but you're hoping he can be better and give you something. And you're hoping that, like closers, you know, that they're up and down and this is an uptick for him to kind of figure it out in another year in New York, and the fact that he won't have people booing him and people looking at him, and maybe he can kind of figure it out. But if not, then you have to ask Brody, like, Brody, what do I really need you here for? And why would I want you to lead this team going forward? If I'm a new owner, I'm going to bring in my own people. So this is a big year for Brody, too. So I make sure Brody isn't being reckless and kind of going out there and trying to do whatever he got to do to try and get a meaningless win to get in the postseason so he can say they got in the postseason.
Exactly.
And it's really hollow.
Yeah, exactly. If you're going to go out and waste the limited prospects that they have that you already dwindled down in that trade, then and you're trying to just get a wild card spot and maybe get one extra game in the year, how's that going to look to a new owner? I don't think terribly good, but, you know, a couple of observations. Number one, you're getting it now. You've been in it for a couple of years, and you're getting the Met fan mentality now. You had that look on your face that you were ready to get hurt again. Like, you had put the past behind you. Yep. You had this relationship that you knew wasn't a good one for you, but you still went back to it. And yet, here we are. And you're ready to get hurt again, and what's happened? We haven't even played a game yet, and you've gotten hurt.
Started with Syndergaard, and I was like, you know what, it's okay. We got depth, and we got Betances, and we got Familia. He lost a lot of weight. Everything with the Mets is an if. If this happens, if that happens, if. And like they used to tell me back in the hood in Detroit on the corners, when the guys be out there talking stuff, they say, if was a fifth, we'll all be drunk. And I'm drunk, and I am drunk off this Met juice, because I said, if Cespedes comes back and he looks good, if Lowry gives us something, gives us nothing.
Well, remember.
We'll never see this dude again. This dude had the biggest knee brace. I mean, he had the old thumbs up. He had the old throwback 1980 Tommy Frazier knee brace on. He had the Dan Marino knee brace on, man. I mean, it wasn't even sleek, and he was carrying that thing like it was like it wasn't even attached to him.
Like he should have had a crutch.
Exactly.
Basically. Yeah. Jeez. Well, remember, talking about the depth, it wasn't all that long ago that the GM was talking about how great their depth was.
Yeah, come get us.
We're probably the deepest starting pitching rotation in baseball. We feel good about that.
I'm sorry, what?
Down three? Down yeah. three?
And here's the other thing. To your point on Diaz. Bart, you know what, Diaz, when he lost me last year, was when somewhere in June, early July, I think it was, that he suggested that, yeah, maybe I'm not a New York guy. Maybe coming to New York wasn't necessarily a good thing to me.
Oh, he's Sonny
you know what
Gray.
That makes me
he's
think
Sonny,
of?
He's Sonny Gray.
It makes me think of Rocky in Rocky III. And after the first Clubber Lang fight. And he just looked like a beaten man. But I don't
I'm
see
afraid.
Him running on any beach with Apollo Creed and getting screamed at by Adrian.
I'm
don't
afraid.
See, yeah, I don't see Diaz coming out of it.
No.
And saying, I'm afraid. And all of a sudden, he comes back. And the next thing you know, he's pulling Paulie into the pool and letting Clubber punch his way out of it. I don't see that happening here.
Yeah, me
I don't
either.
Feel good about that.
Trade him to the Royals. He'll be an ace again. Ain't that something?
I'll tell you.
We all know everybody's not a New York guy.
Nope.
And we're hoping that he can fight his way out of it. We hope that the addition of Betances, who's had his ups and downs, has been through a lot, but that is from here. He's from here, so it's easy for him. He's been through it. He was born with it. He was part of it. But maybe they can rub off on Diaz. He's still a young guy. Betances has a lot of experience. He's a tremendous pitcher. He's a great asset for the Mets. He's got to pull Diaz over. Somebody has to get to him. If he can't get right between Betances and DeGrom, ain't going to get no right here.
Make sure that it doesn't throw us into some kind of tailspin.
Yeah. Tell you what, the Mets' ass is in the jackpot already.
I miss Mickey. I miss Mickey. Let's hit what the calls, 800-919-3776. Spike in Jersey is going to start us off. Spike, what's going on, bud? What's up, dude?
How you doing, fellas? Two guys that have quotes attached to them, and I'm going to give you a third one. Bart, your quote we know is can't wait. And Colin, pandemonium and Piscataway's followed you. So yeah. I'm going to give an old Nelly for Keith Jackson today. This is how exciting this is. This is Christmas in July. I don't care what happens tonight as long as it doesn't get rained out. I really don't care. It's enough with the list already and the stories. It's time we all, our diehard sports fans, all deserve some live action. And as far as your argument, Bart, I'll take them both. Give me Gleyber Torres and give me Judge. You're right about, see, Judge offers a lot of charisma, his size. He's a great fielder. Torres is just quietly fantastic, and I think he's 4 or 5 years younger than him, if I'm correct.
He is.
Yep.
He's 23.
Yeah, 23?
Yeah.
Man, I got shoes older than that.
Right.
I'm telling you something. This is exciting as it could be under horrible conditions we're living in, and we can't forget about that. But we can for 3 or 4 hours tonight. I got a call from my stepson, who's a cop, and he's on vacation this week, and he says, you know, if you parlay the Yankees with the Dodgers tonight with the over and the runs scored, I said, enjoy the game. It's the first game. You know, but anyway, he's a diehard fan. So I can't wait. I'd love to hear the menus for tonight. I really would like to hear what you guys plan, especially
even,
you, Colin.
I can't even believe I'm going to say this, Spike, and thanks for the call, is that I haven't even thought about what my menu is going to be tonight. That's a problem. You know, that's a problem. I've actually shed a little bit of weight off the old Queen Mary here, about 10 pounds worth, so we threw a deck chair over the side. But I got to, you know, maybe it's the cheat night,
which is
Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday.
Oh. Well, we can call it Fat Tuesday. It's your Fat Tuesday moment. You get the band, you know, it's okay. You know what I mean? Celebration. It's opening day, man. I don't know. I might have to go out and maybe grill some hot dogs and do them different ways, Chicago style, Maxwell Street Polish. You know, get some Italian beef or something like that and kind of just have me a little smorgasbord of different ways of eating potato bread.
I like it. Oh, the potato. I tell you what, I have, you know what I've done last month and a half?
Yeah.
When we've cooked out, I've fell back in love with potato bread. That's not good.
Potato bread and pretzel bread. Oh.
I always thought pretzel bread would be too much. Like, it's just, it's going to be too hard. Like,
I don't need
to complicate things with a burger, though.
It's so balanced.
Yeah, I know.
Tell you what, I almost stole some pretzel bread yesterday with the storm. I was in Wegmans.
You want pancakes?
And for one second, I thought about grabbing a bag and running out. But, you know, it's like, you know, it's, No, no.
Probably not a good idea.
Yeah, they got cameras.
I'd be lying if I said I hadn't done it, or it would be right there with you.
They show up in my house like, Bart, we know it's you. Like.
The little bit of news for the Yankees for tonight. They made the following roster moves in the last little bit. They called Tyro Estrada, Ben Heller, and Michael King up from the alternate site, being, I think, believe it's in Scranton. And DJ LeMahieu is on the active roster, so he can play tonight, and you would believe that he would probably be leading off tonight for the Yankees down in D.C.
That's good news. That's good news that DJ is available, especially who's starting for Washington. Is it Scherzer?
It is Scherzer, yep.
So you want somebody that can be able to get on base and make contact to set it up. And he's one of the best. And I mean, can he duplicate what he did last year? Because to me, he was a sneaky MVP candidate for a long time during that season. And they're going to have to lean on him, especially getting on early. It's going to be interesting, man, starting off to a good start. I mean, I know one game means nothing, but it's always good to be above 500 opposed to below it, chasing it. And getting off to a good start is going to be key for every team in the league.
You know, I'm really happy that we just got here. Because, you know, with as bad as it got financially for so long, I was never fully convinced that we would get here. And I understand that they didn't necessarily get together on it, but at least we're here. And you know, that was just as ugly as can be, and I anticipated being ugly in the future. Speaking of which, I mean, how about the NFL and the NFLPA right now, Bart? I mean, if they don't learn from what baseball just went through, and this turns ugly financially here in the coming weeks, they have just acted all along as if they were going to be able to push through everything, and it didn't matter because it's what we do. We're the NFL. We can
be we storm anything. Normandy.
Yes, we can do anything. And financially now, if this gets as ugly as it did with baseball, what are you doing? You have to have a clue about that. You've known forever that you're likely not going to have fans in the stands.
Yeah, nobody wants to hear football, who's been printing money for years, owners, complain about being broke. And you talk about, you know, they just put $225 million. They just put $225 million.
Yeah.
So they just put $225 million in the social justice program, right? Yeah, if I'm the NFL Players Association, I'm like, well, you better take that $25 million and lace your pocket and say this starts later, because there's no way that you can ask us after the first year of a new CBA collectively to take a pay cut. And you guys have been printing excess of like $9 billion for the last decade. And we're coming up upon a new TV deal where you guys can get the streaming money and all that. If you guys can't eat it now, because it's different from baseball. Baseball, if you make it in baseball, you can play forever. If you make it in football, you're lucky if you make 2-3 years. So you never really get to that second contract. You know, so I don't want to hear you cry wolf now when you guys are getting all these new stadiums, and I don't want to hear about how much it's worth and, you know, what's this. Most of these owners, when the last TV deal came out, investment went up $400 million at least. So, you know, you can stop all that. You know, we just supposed to have labor peace for the next 10 years. We gave up some things and pushed this thing forward because we saw the pandemic coming. If we don't anticipate this pandemic to be 2-3 years, you guys should be able to eat something for a year, because you can be an owner forever unless you get forced out. I can only be a player for a small amount of time.
$9 billion per year. That's what came out of the Packers situation, right? They had to let their because it's a publicly owned franchise.
They had to show their
taxes.
They
had to let out what all of their revenue was, and it was what, north of something like $350 million a year, or something, whatever the number was. You multiply it by 32.
Profit.
And then all of a sudden you see that
right.
Be the number.
One of the smallest stadiums and one of the weakest markets, knowing that everybody else, every other market is making way more than what they make. So if he made that, what is Dallas making? If he made that, what is New York making? If he made that, what if somebody, you know, what is somebody's, you know, New England making? What is, oddly enough, Snyder in the Washingtons are always up there near the top and making money, even though they always lose. I feel like they're going to be this year's semi-pro. I mean, speaking of semi-pro, man, did you happen to catch any glimpse of the Nets playing yesterday?
It's like I didn't catch the Nets playing.
it's like the replacement players, man.
Was Jackie up,
man.
Moon out there?
Yeah. I was looking for Jackie. Why do I got to talk to you? I was looking for Jackie Moon to come out, man. It was crazy, man. Don't worry. They're not trying to make the playoffs. They'll be done in 8 days.
Well, yeah, they're not trying very hard at all. But, you know, here's what I worry about on the football front. We saw how very close it was in the vote to get the players to ratify that CBA, right? It was, if I'm not mistaken, it was like 51-49. And we know where the 51 came from. It came from all the guys on the bottom of the roster who are making the league minimum and are doing what you're just talking about. And that's trying to stay in the league, let alone get to that big contract. So if you're the owners now, are you looking at that and understanding that that portion of the Players Association now has the majority say, and you're trying to take advantage of that? You're trying to get them to accept even more, knowing that that section of players has to play this year. Has to. They got no choice.
Yeah, but also the NFL has to play as well. The same reason that the NBA had to play, because of the TV contract is coming up and they have to be able to renegotiate that. So if they don't have a product, they're going to owe the TV networks who's already, what is Fox in it for, NBC in it for the Thursday night package? You know, because I remember, you know, that fight was exhausting when I was a member of CBS, and they used to, you know, they gave half of us 1 year, they gave it all of us 1 year, then Fox just came in, or not Fox, NBC just came and blew it out the water with like a $1 billion offer for the rights to be able to do it. So, I mean, the TV networks have a lot at risk because they had scheduled programming. So the NFL as a partner is going to want to get into all this streaming money. They didn't have the Hulus. They didn't have the Yahoo, telecasting the games in Europe. They didn't have that. Now we have a series there. So, we saw Twitter show a game. So now they want to get into that bag. You know, that's a whole nother bag, because if you look at any other, you look at the four major stocks, they've all been Facebook, Amazon, Twitter, and all those. So, like, they'll be smart to make sure that the players, you know, are happy and playing, because if not, they're going to lose out on net revenue.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays from 1 to 3 on 98.7 ESPN.